Chapter 7. I carried a couple of cups of coffee into the living room and handed one to my mother. "You look like the picture of comfort," I said. She smiled. "The fire sure feels good." Dancing flames in the fireplace cast a glow over her small person as she sat in the old recliner, Jethro on her lap. I settled down on the sofa across from her, kicked off my shoes, and stretched my cold toes toward the blaze. "One thing we must be sure of in the new house is a fireplace. I'm glad we had this one repaired after the earthquake damaged it." Mom yawned. "I agree. And on a night like this, there's no better place. You got back from Siloam just in time." The weatherman's forecast had been wrong. This morning's sleet had turned completely to snow shortly after I arrived home. Driving up Deer Track Hill between Levi and Siloam would not have been fun had I waited any longer to leave the newspaper office. Earlier, as we ate supper, I had recounted what I learned from the clipping about Markham Caldfell's disappearance. The photocopies still lay spread out on the dining table. Now it was Mom's turn to share her gleanings from the Jenkins sisters. A shower of sparks flew up the chimney as a log fell behind the dog irons. Since childhood, I liked to imagine pictures in those dancing flames. In my imagination, I could see future walls and roof taking shape. Yes, the new house definitely must have at least one fireplace. Mom shifted in her chair. "I don't know the exact age of those Jenkins twins, but they're getting up in years. How strange that neither of them ever married. I wonder if they had any beaux a long time ago." "Well, I have heard stories through the years, gossip, actually, about a young man who came courting one of them, but he just up and disappeared one day."
"Stories?"
"Yes, well, Darcy, you know, rumors start about anybody who is a little different. Remember old String?" "Oh, yes, the old man who went about picking up every little bit of string he found along the roadside. When he died, his house was so stacked full of junk that it took 2 weeks to remove it. You'll have to admit, old String was a little odd, Mom." "That's neither here nor there, Darcy. Those two dear ladies, Carolina and Georgia, were they actually named for states?" "Their folks were from the South. They are of Cherokee ancestry and proud of it. They live way on the other side of town in that old Victorian house their daddy left them. They keep it as spruce and neat as the day it was built. Never knew them to work anywhere, but they attend that little Methodist church a couple of blocks from where they live. Haven't missed a Sunday in 50 years, they said." My eyelids were starting to close in spite of the hot coffee. I set my mug down beside my chair. "They must have had money coming in from somewhere."
"From their daddy, I imagine. He left them well off. Could be they never married because they never found a man to measure up to him."
"How did you steer the conversation around to Granny Grace and Markham Caldfell?"
"It wasn't hard," Mom chuckled. "We were sitting on what were probably expensive antique chairs, sipping hot tea when Carolina, she's the no-nonsense type, Darcy, Carolina looked at me with those piercing black eyes and said, 'So, Flora Tucker, what brings you out this way? I can count on the fingers of one hand the number of times you've come to visit.' Georgia smiled and shook her head. 'Now, sister, you know it's not polite to ask,' she said. I was grateful for the opening, so I just came out with it. 'You two probably know more about Levi's past than most people, and I've got a puzzle of my own I'd like to ask you about something that happened during World War I. Carolina set her cup back into the saucer so hard I thought it would break. Her voice fairly crackled when she said, "We may be old, miss, but we're not that old." Georgia ignored her sister. "We heard stories about that time from Mama and Papa." "You knew my mother?" I said. "Of course, Miss Grace Wolfe, a real lady, not given to asking impertinent questions," Carolina told me. And then, as if to make up for her brusqueness, she asked if I wanted more tea. I told her what I'd really like to know was whether she had heard anything about my mother in connection with a man named Markham Caldfell. The room got so quiet that I could hear the sleet bouncing off their front porch. Georgia paused with her teacup halfway to her mouth, and Carolina just stared at me. Then Carolina said, "That was a long time ago, Flora." And Georgia said in her soft, trembling voice, "There are some things about the past that should stay there." And you know, Darcy, for the life of me, I couldn't guide the conversation any further. Carolina kept talking about the Methodist Ladies' Aid Society and what a good work it was doing. Georgia remarked that they'd better phone the grocery store to be sure they had enough food if we were going to have a blizzard. And so I thanked them for their time and tea and left. "More coffee?" I asked, getting up to empty my own coffee, which had grown cold. "That is amazing, Mom. The Jenkins sisters and Burke have both warned us about digging up the past. That means they must know something that we don't. And what is it? What is so bad that nobody wants to talk about it? They are far too secretive. And they intend to keep their secrets. And I intend to find out what they are." I handed her the refilled cup. "You said that the boyfriend of one of the Jenkins sisters disappeared. Don't you find that strange? Markham Caldfell disappeared, too." "There couldn't be a connection, Darcy. Mr. Caldfell vanished about the time the Jenkins sisters were born." "Right. I'm just saying that it's strange, Mom." A knock at the door stopped me before I could sit down. "Who would be out on such a snowy night?" I muttered. Mom was right behind me as I went down the hall and swung open the door. Burke Hopkins stood on the porch. "Mr. Hopkins, come in and get warm." I stood aside for him to enter. "I brought your eggs, Flora," he said, holding out a wire basket. "Surely you didn't come out in this weather just to deliver these eggs. Come on in and have a cup of coffee, warm up some," Mom said. "I don't mind the snow. My old truck has good tires and can get through many a bad road. I won't track all over your rug, Flora. I just wanted to bring the eggs since you mentioned the other day that you needed some. I've been thinking about our visit at Dilly's and what old Bruce said about wanting to know what you dug up. Just let it alone. People are curious enough already, and who knows, there could be someone in town who might be afraid of whatever was in that box." I opened my mouth to say the gossip was wrong and there was no box. He held up his hand. "No, don't tell me. I don't want to know. My father told me a few things about the old days, and I understand that they were pretty rough. Just stay safe, the both of you." He waved and left, the snow swirling around him as he stepped off the porch. Mom and I stared at each other. "He didn't come just to bring those eggs," Mom whispered. "He was worried about us, Darcy. He's afraid for our safety." I switched off the porch light and followed Mom to the kitchen. The room seemed suddenly chill. What had we gotten ourselves into? And why was Burke trying to warn us?